I vividly remember going through really difficult change in my life. And it was intentional. It was hard. I was consistent at it. I did it for a pretty long time before I woke up and said, where's my reward? And if you're anything like me, as you're listening right now, you've gone through some personal development. You've gone through some significant change. It's been painful. It's been difficult. And you're like, when does the good stuff come? I'm waiting for the good stuff. I'm a much better person than I was a month ago, a year ago, 5 years ago. Where's all the good stuff? And what I want to do today is I'm going to walk you through a framework that I'm building out with Cody's help that I believe will start to open your eyes to some things that you may not be aware are going on in the background of your mind. And it took going through this whole thing. The way Cody and I were thinking about it is you're at the top of a tree and you jump. We've hit every branch on the way down. And then we hit the ground. We want to help you jump out of the tree without hitting all the branches. I think that'd be nice, right? Let's ease some of that burden. So I'm going to walk you through it. And I need you to be aware, this is the first time I'm sharing this with anybody anywhere. I'm going to be sharing it next week. When this comes out, it will be Wednesday. March 6th? Wednesday, March 6th? I will be sharing this next week in Las Vegas at a presentation I'm doing for the Real Coaches Summit, my friend Aaron Gregorian's event. So here's the deal. It starts with the victim mindset. We all know the victim mindset. But it doesn't go straight from the victim to the goal. There are what I've identified as 9 steps in between, 10 steps total. So we're going to go through them right now. And I think where you end up might surprise you. And I'm curious, after you've listened to this, hit me with some feedback on this. Shoot me a DM. Let me know, was this revelatory for you? Was this useful for you? Did it help you? So the victim mindset believes, that person in that space believes the world is the problem. It's not me. It's not my actions. It's not anything I'm doing. It's the world. The world is the problem. It's not fair. That person compromises on the possibility of what their life could be like. They're compromising. They're deciding this is the best it's going to get because the world's not fair. This is bullshit. That's what they're doing. And so they're compromising on possibility. That's the first, lowest, most destructive mindset that there is. Up next is the dreamer. The dreamer mindset is a person who realizes it's not all terrible. And the world is going to change. That's what they believe. If I keep doing the same thing, eventually something's going to change. The world around me is going to change. That person is compromising on their agency. They have the ability to do much more, and the world is not going to change. They no longer think the world is the problem in a negative way. They think that the world is going to go through some kind of a revelation that they're more important than they actually are, that they're putting out more value than they actually are. They're dreaming. But at least they're being positive. The next step up is the beginner. And I spent a lot of time here. This is the person who believes I've changed. I went through some personal development thing. I came out on the other side. My mind is in a different position. The person who was a terrible husband all of a sudden believes, I went to this retreat and I came back a changed man. It's the person who believes, I found Jesus and I am changed. It's the person who believes, I took a mentorship. I went to a mastermind. I met with a mentor and I'm totally new. I'm a new person now. Where are my results? This is a person who is compromising on their vision. And I spent a lot of time here. After I worked with that mentor back in 2016, I spent a lot of time in the I've changed perspective. Because I did. I mean, it was really hard. There's no discounting the change it takes to get to becoming a beginner. The reason we've titled this phase the beginner is because this is the person who's finally decided it's worth making changes. But they've only started. This is when you're seeing the world through very narrow lenses. You're seeing things for the first time and making assumptions that you understand what they are. And so you're compromising on your vision. It's the look over there and see this. Instead of look over there, what do you see? Mindset. Once you look over there and you see something and you realize, oh, I have to keep changing. Change is constant. You go from being a beginner to a campaigner. This is the person who is starting to feel so much better about themselves that they want the same for everybody around them. This is people who start doing an exercise program like CrossFit. It's somebody who joins the church. Nothing against the church. I'm just talking about the people who never went. Then they go, and then they want all of their friends who don't go to start going with them. And their friends aren't ready, and they don't have the information to share with their friends about why it's important and what the value is. And they're not making it about their friend. They're making it about the church. That's a campaigner. This is a person who recognizes that change is constant, and they compromise on clarity. What change? At what time? For what person? In what way? For how long? The campaigner is the bird dog who gets some people to convert, but doesn't get most people to move. This is a person who really wants, who's doing all the things. They believe the success is inbound, and they're close, but they're not there yet because they don't have the gravity to them yet. They're still speaking from a wound that hasn't healed. Up next is the coach. The coach is somebody who believes I can influence change. And they can. They believe so strongly that they can influence change. They believe in so strongly in the transformation that they have gone through. Remember, they went through some personal development. They became a beginner. Then they became a campaigner. Everyone needs to do this. Then they realized, it'll be easier for me to help people do this if I actually provide the help myself. And so they become a coach. And they realize, I can change people's lives. I can influence change. And the key word, the operative word to the coach is I. When it's never about I. So their compromise is collaboration. They compromise on lack of collaboration. They don't have people around them who they're happy to refer to. They want to be able to solve all of the problems for all of the people, all of the time. But what they need to be able to do is recognize their shortcomings, collaborate with other people. That's when they become an influencer. That's the next step up the ladder. Influencer is a person who believes I have influenced change. And they have. For me, this is when, for me, I started to have people who were flying in from around the world to see me. I'm like, whoa, I'm influencing the way that these people are coaching their clients. I'm influencing the way that this Olympian is training. I'm influencing the way this professional baseball player is going about his career. I have made significant influence. I'm the man. I really thought I'm the man when I got to that point. Think about it. Put yourself in my position. Olympic medalists, professional athletes, CrossFit Games champions are flying to see you. You would think you were the man too. That's where I was. When I was the influencer, I was compromising on completeness. Thought I was done. I thought I was giving the best service I possibly could. I thought everyone needs to notice me now. Like, I'm obviously the man. What do I need? Like, what could I possibly do better? Well, the next step up from that is becoming a manager. To become a manager, you realize I'm not good enough. not alone. I need other people. I need other people to round out the areas that I'm a little bit too sharp. I need someone to soften those edges so I can be me, but we can be us. I need someone to do the things that I'm not so great at doing. And when you hit the manager phase, oftentimes what gets compromised is a little bit of self-esteem. There's some self-doubt that creeps in. I can't do this by myself. I'm not good enough. The next phase up is the reluctant leader. So the manager becomes the person who others are starting to look to. They're no longer micromanaging and telling people what to do all the time. They're now a person who others are coming to and saying, we trust you because you trust us. And we'd like you to lead us. There's a difference between the person who's in charge and the person who's the leader. The person in charge gets appointed. The person who leads gets selected. The difference is by whom. The person who's in charge gets appointed by other people who are in charge. The leader is someone who only the people who are being led can decide is the leader. The reluctant leader is the person who doesn't believe that they're there yet, but they realize, I'm not supposed to be good enough. I was never supposed to be good enough alone. This is about all of us. It's not about me. And they get to this point and it feels really freeing. And people love to follow the reluctant leader. But the reluctant leader is compromising on a sense of responsibility. Just because you're creating democratic opportunities for everybody to follow your lead doesn't mean that the responsibility doesn't stop with you. It does. Responsibility stops with you whether you're the desired leader or not. The reluctant leader still gets stuck with that responsibility. They have that unique opportunity. Once they realize that and they take advantage of it and they take ownership of it, they don't have the skill set yet to own all of that stuff. And so time goes by and we start to become the tired leader. The tired leader has a realization, this can't be me. I'm the wrong person for this job. And they're right. And in the moment that they get there, they have all these people who are listening to them, all these people who are counting on them. And they're not sure yet how to count on themselves. I remember getting to this place in my career. And it wasn't fake it till you make it because I believed in myself, but it was put on a good face. That's what it was. It was never let them see a crack. It was exude confidence. I was exhausted. I was really, really, really exhausted. I wanted a break, but not from work, just from leading. It was a big burden. That's what it felt like, at least. Trying to keep a bunch of people excited about a mission when the progress towards that mission doesn't feel like it's happening at a pace that anybody's excited about. You start to wonder, are other people going to realize that I only have somewhat of an idea of what I'm doing? And you're trying to tell as much of the truth as you possibly can to people, but at the same time, you hold some back because you don't want to scare them. You don't want to make them uneasy about how their responsibilities might change. You don't want to tell them what you need. And you don't want to relinquish control because you want to protect them. And you know that if you relinquish control to them, they might not make it. And depending on how badly they don't make it, we might not make it. Those are the thoughts that go through a tired leader's mind. They happen so fast. And those thoughts swirling around inside of the brain of a leader become exhausting. And so they compromise on their voice. because the last thing that they want to do is say the thing that offends the people. There's finally a group of people following their lead who wants to follow their lead. And they agree with those people on probably 75 to 80% of things. But the other 20 to 25% they disagree on. And there's fear around, if I speak my voice all the way through, what if the people who are following me decide they no longer want to follow me? It's tiring to carry that burden. The last step on this ladder is what I like to call the empowered leader. The empowered leader realizes this has to be us. It can't be me. It has to be us. And us depends on me to share where we're going, to cast a vision, to keep reminding them, to repeat myself over and over and over and over and over and over again in every single way I possibly can until everybody can both hear and listen. The empowered leader creates an environment in which everybody knows their place. Everybody knows what's expected. And everybody knows their opportunity is their own. They can create whatever life they want within the empowered leader's environment. They have all the influence within the environment of the environment that they could ever want. Getting to here is a place where there's nothing that you can say that you're worried about. You know, everybody knows where you stand. You've communicated to everybody so clearly that all the fear is gone. And if somebody does take something that you say in a way that they don't appreciate, they can bring it to you and they know that. And if they decide to move on from being a part of your mission, go. It's for the best for everybody. And if the empowered leader decides these people need to move on from the mission, they're not helping in the way that we need them to help, there's clarity and there's decisiveness in that decision-making. It's the most freeing place to be. And it's a place that we get to touch and try to stay in. The way I think about the empowered leader mindset, the empowered leader becoming the empowered leader. It's like the first time that you feel it, it's like driving by an alleyway. You can see there was something down that alleyway, but you don't know what it was. The next time that you drive down that alleyway, you know you're about to pass it. So your eyes are ready to say, what was down that alley last time? You touch it again. You're like, ooh, I think it was this. But you're not really sure. You keep slipping back down to tired leader. Then the next time you know the alleyway is coming up and you slow the car down to still a safe speed, but you slow it down. You're like, oh, I think I know what's down there. And you slip back again. You drive right past it. And then you decide, I'm going to go for a jog one day past that alleyway. And you get a much better look inside. You're closer. You're moving slower. And then the next time, you're walking. And then the next time, you stop. And you look. And then finally, you make some time. And you make the alleyway the destination. And you walk down the alleyway. And you see everything that was in there. You see it for exactly what it is. You know exactly what to do with it. And you know that if you're wrong about exactly what to do with it, you can recover from whatever you do wrong. That right there, when there are people who are living financially and emotionally in their work through the mission that the empowered leader shares, in the environment that the empowered leader creates, empowers, allows for, whatever you'd call it, that is the most incredible feeling I've ever had in business. And it's one that I feel I miss. And it's kind of like, the way I think of it is, it's like winning a championship. You can't do it every year, but we can strive for it. So I want to remind you, the different phases of development that we all go through. The victim, the dreamer, the beginner, the campaigner, the coach, the manager, the influencer, the manager, the reluctant leader, the tired leader, the empowered leader. And we get to do all of them. But we get to decide how long we stay in each if we know the others exist. And that's why I wanted to share this with you today. I hope it was helpful. Turn pro.